I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. They meet under the chuppah, they exchange rings, the wine glass is stomped on, shouts of mazel tov ensue. That routine can now be undertaken legally by same-sex couples in the state of California after last month's Supreme Court ruling knocking down Proposition 8, which had banned gay marriage in the state. And the rabbi at Sinai Temple in Los Angeles has announced that same-sex weddings will be performed there now. Sinai Temple is the oldest and largest conservative Jewish congregation in Los Angeles, and the rabbi's announcement has angered some members of the congregation. The most vocal protests are coming from the temple's sizable group of Iranian-American Jews. Rabbi David Wolpe joins us from Los Angeles. So, Rabbi Wolpe, one member of your congregation wrote in an open letter to other Iranians, to officiate a union that is expressly not for the same godly purpose of procreation and to call such a relationship sanctified is unacceptable to a sound mind. Were you surprised with that level of anger?
No, I wasn't surprised that certain people felt that, nor was I surprised that some people must have felt that I'm of unsound mind. This is a familiar allegation, I think, for anybody in any public role and certainly in the clergy. But it also should be said that the response subsequently, including from members of the Iranian community, has been positive and even sometimes overwhelmingly so. And I think that the velocity of social change that you see in America in general also has its own momentum inside institutions. And once you begin to introduce this idea, even people who initially react against it start to moderate and mollify a little bit and see it in a different light.
So you're saying the U.S. has gone through its own level of pushback on the issue now at a kind of a micro level. In your temple, for example, you're going through your own process.
Exactly so. I've had many discussions with people. I mean, there are still people who for whom this is really unthinkable. I think it's true, by the way, it's partly generational. It's true not only in the Persian community, obviously, but I think that it also is the case that if you grew up in a country in which the president could find it plausible to publicly announce there are no homosexuals in my country, as Ahmadinejad did a few years ago, then you understand the social reality that you were used to is very different from, you know, half my congregation is from Beverly Hills. It's a very different world. So I think that it's understandable that it takes time, but it also offers tremendous encouragement to those people who, until now, have had to live lives of either tremendous social awkwardness or hiding.
And how many Iranian Americans in the congregation?
It's about a 2,000-family congregation, and about half the members are from Iran.
Right. And some of them have left the temple, I gather.
Well, some of them have said they will. It remains to be seen whether, in fact, that will happen. We work our renewal around the high holidays. And there were people who said that they would take their kids out of the school or leave the temple. But as I said, you know, one's initial reaction and where you end up after the process of discussion and consideration is very different. And, for example, last night we had our first board meeting since the announcement. And I think the sentiment was overwhelmingly positive. They were uncomfortable, as I understand, about the public portrayal of division, but they were, I think, overwhelmingly comfortable with the idea that we were being more embracing.
I'm just wondering if any of the pushback from the Iranian Jewish community kind of angered you. I mean, did you lose any empathy for these Jewish Iranians who fled after the fall of the Shah? You know, well, this country offered you freedom, but now you feel there's too much freedom?
No. The Iranian community that I've come to know is a remarkable and astonishing one in many, many ways. I mean, they left Iran with nothing, many of them, and have made tremendous successes here in the United States. You don't shed your social attitudes so easily. And I think sometimes that particularly when you've gone through such a profound experience of loss, it becomes harder, not easier, to be more open because, you know, you know what it is to lose everything that you care about and treasure. I mean, these are people who left behind, many of them, some not only some family, but all their neighbors, their homes, their possessions, and so on. They come to a new land, and when you say, and by the way, sacred beliefs are going to be taken too, And you should feel comfortable with that because, after all, we gave you refuge. I think it's understandable that they would say, look, this is just very hard for us.
Have you been reaching out, you know, specifically to members of the Iranian-American community in the congregation at Sinai Temple to, you know, talk to them about your decision?
I've been reaching out to members of the community who have difficulty with the decision. I say that because I don't want it to be seen as specifically an Iranian-American issue, because I don't think it is. There may be a higher percentage of people in that community that have a problem because of the social background from which they came. But to say I'm going to make a special outreach is to emphasize the division when I think it's important that people feel healing. In fact, yesterday, an Iranian-American and a, I don't know what the exact, what the correct opposite, but we would say an Ashkenazi, somebody who is a longtime generational resident of America, came to see me together to emphasize the fact that there's a certain kinship of those who have difficulty with it, as there is a kinship of those who support it.
So tell me, Rabbi Wolpe, have you scheduled a same-sex wedding at Sinai Temple yet?
Not yet. I have not yet, since the announcement, have not had a request from people who are of the same sex, Jewish, and members of the synagogue, which are our requirements to have a wedding with one of our clergy at the synagogue. But I assume that it will happen. And when it does, we'll be ready. We're actually working with the other clergy on formulating the kind of ceremony that would be appropriate, since obviously you have to make some changes from the traditional marriage ceremony, the traditional ketubah, which is the wedding covenant, and also some of the blessings in order to accommodate either two men or two women.
Well, Rabbi David Wolpe, Senior Rabbi at Sinai Temple in Los Angeles, thanks for your time and good luck.
Thank you so much.